Maseches Tainis deals specifically with Ta'anesim, with fast days that would be instituted by Chazal, by various communities, when there was a serious time of need. For example, if there was a tragedy, if there was pestilence, if there was famine in the land, there would be instituted by the Chazal, the Chachamim, the Rabbanim of a given area to have a fast day. Now, in fact, the fast day is a secondary issue. The primary vehicle for dealing with these times of sorrow are through mitzvahs midoraisa. There's a mitzvah based on the parsha in Bahaloscha, Psukim in Bahaloscha, that says that a time of sorrow we blow the chatzosro, so that's a mitzvah midoraisa at a time of sorrow. And also there's a mitzvah midoraisa to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also at a time of sorrow. And in addition, Chazal instituted Ta'anesim, fast days, to assist in prodding people forward to do tshuva, because the belief is that when we have these tragedies, these terrible events, it is there as a punishment for our deeds, and we have to counteract that. We need to try to amend that by doing tshuva through the mitzvahs midoraisa, tefillah, chatzotros, sounding the trumpets, and also through Chazal's instituted ta'anesim. So that's going to be the primary subject of our masechta. We're going to start off, obviously, with the first perek and Mishnah Aleph through Gimel. So the Mishnah Aleph through Gimel are going to deal with a very related issue. A lot of the times that the sorrow, the problems at the time of Chazal, and in fact to today, is when there was a famine, the lack of food, which was usually brought on either by a problem with the crops once they were planted, so that'd be after the fact, but initially the problem would be a lack of rain. And in fact, until today, we've had this problem in Eretz Yisrael with lack of rain. I remember up until a few years ago when there were many years of drought, we felt the sorrow, we felt the problems. There wasn't enough water to be irrigating the fields. Only very recently with the salinization of the water has that problem been somewhat alleviated. But still this concept exists throughout the world today. With a lack of rain, the crops cannot grow. So we're going to start off with Mishnayos Aleph, Beis, and Gimel as a unit to discuss the various davenings that we have in order to request rain. And then we will be followed up by Mishnah Daled, that if there is a lack of rain, then the various Ta'anesim, the various fasts that were instituted in increasing levels of severity in order to bring on the tshuva process in the hopes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer our tefillas and bring us rain. Now, Mishnayos Aleph through Gimel, as I mentioned, we're going to look at it as a unit. They are fairly complicated, and this is the reason. What we're going to start off with talking about is when do we daven for rain, and it's going to be divided in two aspects. Aspect number one is when we simply give a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he brings us rain. That is in the form of Mashiv HaRuach or Merid HaGeshem that we say at the beginning, towards the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, Mashiv HaRuach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on the blowing of the winds, and also Merid HaGeshem brings on the rain thereafter. That is a Shevach, that is not a Bakasha, that is not a Tefillah to bring on rain. In our Mishnah, it's going to be called Maskirin. We simply mention rain, but it's not a request for rain. So we're going to discuss, in particular, when it comes to saying Mashiv HaRuach or Merid HaGeshem, when do we start saying it and when do we stop saying it? In the first three Mishnayos, this isn't all going to be in the first Mishnah. So Mashiv HaRuach, when do we start, when do we stop? And also, when in Barech Aleinu, the bracha that is specifically giving us bracha in this year, in particular in rain, we say v'sen tal umatar livracha. So that is not maskirin, that we're mentioning rain. That is when we are shoel, we are actually requesting rain. And we're going to discuss also in these Mishnayas when we start shoelim, when we start saying v'sen tal umatar livracha, and when we finish saying v'sen tal umatar livracha and replace it with sen bracha. So Mishnah Aleph is going to discuss specifically me'emasai maskirin gvuras geshamim. When do we start mentioning Mashiv HaRuach u'merid HaGeshem? That is called Gvuras Geshamim, the strength of the rain, which evidences the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring on rains. And this is going to be a subject of Machlokis and our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. Rabbi Eliezer is of the view that is on the first day of Chag, which is the first day of Sukkot, we start talking about rain, mentioning rain, not requesting rain, but mentioning it by saying, Mashiva Ruach Amina Geshem, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he disagrees, Miyom Tava Achron Shachag, from the last day of Sukkot, but not the first day, last day being Shmini Atzeres. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, so now Rabbi Yeshua, who said we start saying it at the end of Sukkot, he says as follows, Hoil Ve'ena Geshamim Ela Siman Klala B'chag. He says to Rabbi Eliezer, because rain, we know, is a sign of a curse when it falls on Sukkot. The Gemara in Sukkot tells us it's like a master throwing a drink, a porridge, back to an Eved who is feeding him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejecting our mitzvah of Sukkah. If it's raining during Sukkot, we're unable to do the mitzvah. So it's a siman klala, it's a sign of curse. Lama maskir, why would you, Rabbi Eliezer, say we should be saying Mashiv HaRuach from the beginning of Sukkot? We don't want rain on Sukkot. Amo lo Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer responds back, Afanilo amarti lisho, I didn't say to Shoel. I didn't say we should be requesting rain in the form of a sentalu matar livracha, ela lahaskir mashiv haruach merida geshem ba'ona. So I'm simply saying that we're going to mention mashiv haruach merida geshem and that it should fall ba'ona. So in its proper time, I agree the proper time is not Sukkot, but we're simply giving shavach, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the rain should come in its proper time, but we're not requesting it, and we're not requesting it now, certainly during Sukkot. Amar lo, so he responds back, Rabbi Yeshua responds back to Rabbi Eliezer, Im Kain, if you're telling me that we are simply mentioning it, that rain should come at its proper time, but we don't want it now and during Sukkot, Im Kain, la'olam ye maskir, why don't we say it all year round, if we're just mentioning it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he brings rain at its proper time, let's say it all year round. Obviously, we're not going to say it all year round, so we should limit it to when we really want the rain, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, that is from the Yom Tov HaAchron Shachag, from Shmini Atzeres, and indeed, that is how we are nohag to do. Mishnah Beis, according to one of the opinions in the Gemara, is simply a continuation of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem on the last day of Sukkot. Ein Sho'alim Es HaGeshamim El HaSamuch LeGeshamim. According to that opinion, Sho'alim here doesn't mean talking about V'Sentalu Matar Livracha. It means Maskirin, that we only mention Mashiv HaRuach next to the time of Geshamim, when we really want Geshamim, which is starting with Shmini Atzeres, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So it's simply restating the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Now we're going to say exactly when on Shmini Atzeres do we start saying Mashiv HaRuach Umarida Geshem. Rabbi Yehud Omer HaOver Lifnei HaTeva B'Yom Tav Achron Shachal. The person who is saying Musaf, that is Over Lifnei HaTeva, the person is standing, acting as the chazan on the last day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres, HaAchron Maskir. It's the person saying Musaf that starts saying Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGeshem HaRishon, the first Shalach Tzibur, in other words, the one for Shachris, Eino Maskir, does not say Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGeshem. So now we've gotten it down. The opinion of Rabbi Yeshua is that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach on Shmini Atzeres. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, when on Shmini Atzeres? Starting with Musaf, that's when we say Tfilas HaGeshem, we start saying Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGeshem. Now we're going to get into the discussion of when do we stop saying Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGeshem. Now we've established when do we start saying it, but when do we finish saying Mashiv HaRuach? So the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael roughly goes from Sukkot to Pesach, so we start saying Mashiv HaRuach at the end of Sukkot. When do we finish saying B'yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach? When it comes to finishing Mashiv HaRuach, we go up to the first day of Pesach, and on that day, HaRishon Maskir, the person who says Shachris, the Chazan, he is the last one to say Mashiv HaRuach. HaAchron Eni Maskir, the person who says Musaf, does not any longer say Mashiv HaRuach or Mirid HaGeshem. That was when we would start, according to some nuschos, start saying Morid HaTal. In Chutz La'aretz, Nusach Hashnas is simply to say nothing. So that is when we make the change. So it goes from the last day of Sukkot, starting with Musaf, saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, all the way up to the first day of Pesach, with only the Chazan of Shachris saying, but Musaf, we are no longer saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem. Now, we're going to change veins, and we're going to stop talking about Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, but we're going to go into talking about Sho'alim Es HaGeshamim. When do we request? In other words, V'sental U'matar Livracha. We're going to go a little bit backwards. We're going to start talking about when do we start saying Vesentalu Matali Vracha. So until when do we say Vesentalu Matali Vracha? And then in the next Mishnah, we will establish when do we start saying Vesentalu Matali Vracha. So based on our question now, Vesentalu Matali Vracha in the Bracha, Barach Aleinu, Ad Eimasai Sholim Etaj Kashami, up until when in the year do we say Vesentalu Matali Vracha? So it's going to be a subject of Machlokes, Reb Yehuda Omer, Ad Shi'avor HaPesach. Reb Yehuda is of the view that we say it throughout Pesach until the end of the Pesach, we still say Vesen Talu Matar Livracha, and then we convert over saying Vesen Bracha. And Rabbi Meir Omer Ad Sheyetzei Nisan, you say it even longer according to Rabbi Meir, until all of Nisan ends, the entire month, Sheneemar, and he brings a Pasuk as a proof, Vayored Lachem Geshem More Umalkus Barishon. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring down the various forms of the Geshem. Barishon, Barishon is means the first month of the year, his Nisan, and it doesn't divide up when during the month. In other words, the implication is that we will have rains. It's a positive thing for the entire month of Nisan. Accordingly, Rabbi Meir is of the view that we continue requesting rains in the form of a Santalu Matar Livracha until the end of Nisan. Mishnah Gimel is going to complete our discussion of when do we say both Mashiva Ruach Umrida Geshem and when do we say request rain Vesentalu Matar Livracha. We've gone through Mashiva Ruach, when do we start and finish saying Mashiva Ruach, and we've also said when do we complete saying Vesentalu Matar Livracha, and our Mishnah is going to discuss when do we start saying Vesentalu Matar Livracha. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, B'shlosha B'mar Cheshvan, Sho'alim Es HaGeshamim. The first opinion, the Tanakhama says, on the third of Cheshvan is when we start requesting rain in the form of Vesentalu Matar Livracha. Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'shiva Bo. Rabbi Gamliel is of the view that on the seventh of Cheshvan we start requesting rain. Chamisha Asar Yom Achar Chag. And this comes out to why the seventh of Cheshvan? Because it's 15 days after the end of Sukkot. In other words, 15 days from the last day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres. Kedei She'yagia Acharon Shebi Yisrael Nahar Pras, so that the last person who was Ola Laregel has time to get to Nahar Pras, which is the Euphrates River, which is the northernmost part of Eretz Yisrael. We want to give people time to travel home before we start requesting rain and make their travels difficult as they would be rained on. So that's how we have it in Mishnah Gimel. This is specifically talking about in Eretz Yisrael that we start fairly quickly requesting the rain after Sukkot. When it comes to Chutz La'aretz, the minhag is to start saying much later. It's pushed off till December 5th or December 6th, depending on the year. That was based roughly on the minhag in Bavel at the time when in Eretz Yisrael we're talking about the 3rd or the 7th of Cheshvan. In Bavel, they did not used to start saying it until later because they didn't need as much rain. So they started davening for rain, which 60 days after the autumn equinox. That was actually in November sometime. And our minhag nowadays, based on confusing calculations of calendars, is at the beginning of December, either the 5th or the 6th. Mishnah Dalet, and through the end of the Perek, discusses when rain would not fall in its proper time. The rain was delayed, that various sets of fasts were instituted as a form of tshuva. In addition, as we'll see in the next parak as well, in addition with tefillah and the tekiah of the chatzotros, to bring on tshuva, bring on repentance, in the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer positively and bring on the rain. So the Mishnah says as follows, Higia Shiva Asar b'mar cheshvan v'lo yardu geshamim. If we got to the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, and rain still have not fallen. In other words, 10 days after Rabbi Gamliel told us in the prior Mishnah that we should start saying Vesentalu Matar Livracha, we've been going 10 days so far, no rain. So we start getting nervous, not terribly nervous, but a little bit nervous. Hischilu Hayachidim, so the Talmidei Chachamim started Mis'anin Shalosh Taniyos. They started fasting three fasts. This is set number one, but this is a set of the Yachidim, just the Talmidei Chachamim. It's not the Tzibur yet that is fasting. All of the sets of fasts that we will discuss will be on Monday, Thursday, and Monday, referred to as Bahab, Bet, Hey, Bet. Bet meaning on a Monday. Hey, the fifth day of the week is a Thursday, and the next Bet, the next week, Bahab, Monday, Thursday, Monday. The reason that it was done on Monday and Thursday is because we see historically Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to receive the second set of Luchos on a Thursday, and he came down on a Monday, which happened to be Yom Kippur. So we see that those are days of Racham, a Monday and Thursday. Accordingly, the fasts were also established on Monday and Thursday. So This was not a very severe fast, and the Mishnah comes and tells us, Ochlim v'shosim mishachashecha. This was not like Yom Kippur that we have, or Tisha B'Av that we have, that the fast day starts the night before, meaning we have to finish eating by Shkia of the day before, because the fast goes at night all and the whole next day. But rather, with these first three fasts, they were like the other fast that we have, that we can eat at night. If we didn't go to sleep, we can eat throughout the night until Alos HaShachar. If we did go to sleep, we're only permitted to eat if we had in mind that we're going to eat before Alos HaShachar. But Ochli V'shosim Mishachashecha, you can continue eating even once it gets dark the night before. You can eat through the night up until Alos Umutarim B'malacha. You're permitted to work on these fast days. And also the various inuim that are prohibited on Yom Kippur and also on Tisha B'Av for us, they would be permitted on these fast days. So it's permitted. B'merechitza, we're allowed to wash ourselves. U'besicha, anoint ourselves even for enjoyment. U'mene'ilas, a sandal, wearing of shoes, leather shoes, u'betashmi, shamita, relations with one's wife or husband, that would be permitted as well. So this is not a very severe fast. And as we mentioned, it's only the yachidin of Talmidei Chachamim that are starting off. It's not a gzeira on the tzibur that the tzibur starts to fast. Mishnah continues, if there is still no rain, Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev Lo Yardu Geshamim, if now we're at Rosh Chodesh Kislev a number of days later and the rains have not started, Beistin Gozrim Shalosh Taniyos Ala Tzibur. Now the Beistin makes a gzera, it's not only the Yechid and the Talmidei Chachamim that are fasting, but Beistin makes a gzera on the Tzibur, that's a Tzibur, everyone has to be fasting. And we will see that despite that, we are getting more nervous and serious about the fasting. It's not only the Yechidah, but it's going to have the same characteristics and limited prohibitions that we saw in Mishnah Dalet that apply to the three fasts of the Yechidim. So it says, Ochlim v'shosim echshachashecha, just like in the prior Mishnah, it's permitted to eat and drink all night long up until the morning at Alos HaShachar. Umutarim b'malacha, they were permitted to eat, urechitza, they were permitted to wash, uvesicha, anointing themselves with oil for enjoyment purposes, even for enjoyment purposes, of an ilas a sandal and wearing shoes, leather shoes, ubitashmi shamita, all of that was permitted on this first set of fasts for the tzibur. It's the second set of fasts, but it's the first set that was for the entire tzibur, 3 days of fasting. And again, this was Bahab on Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Mishnah Vav continues that if unfortunately rain did not begin after the first set of Bahab of the tzibur of the prior Mishnah, the first set of the fasts fasted by the tzibur on Bet, Hey, and Bet, Monday, Thursday, and Monday, says Mishnah Vav, Avru Elu, if that passed by, V'lo Na'anu, and there was no response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing in rain for us, based in Gordrin, Shalosh Ta'anios, Acheros al Tzibur. There were an additional three fasts that were instituted on the Tzibur. In other words, this is going to be the second set for the Tzibur. The first set before the Tzibur fasting was by the Yechidim. Mishnah He was the first set of fasts for the Tzibur. Mishnah Vav, now we see there's a second set of fasts for the Tzibur. And now we will see that the increase in severity, Ochlim v'shosim mi'bo'od yom, they could eat and drink only when it's still daytime. In other words, this would be like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av in the sense that it was a full fast. The night before also was a time of fast, so they can eat up until Shkia, but not thereafter. Va'asurim b'malacha, they now were not permitted to work. Uverachitza, now that's, as we said, it's more stringent. They're not permitted to wash. Uvesicha, they cannot anoint with oil for enjoyment purposes. Uveni'ilas asandal, they could not wear the shoes, certainly not the leather shoes. Uvetashmi shamita, relations. V'no'alim esamer chatzos, and in fact, they even locked up the shvitz, the bathhouses, because they didn't want anyone going in. And now, continuing, Avru Elu V'lo Nanu, if this second set of fasts for the tzibur passed by and there was still no rain, Beistin Gozrim Alei Modshev, the Beistin would Gozer decree that there would be not an additional set of three, but seven more fasts. And again, this would be on Monday, Thursday, and end on a Monday. So it went for 3.5 weeks. And then the total tally, Shen Shloshes Retanios Al Tzibur, for a total of 13 fast days of the Tzibur. We had two sets of three. Mishnah He was a set of three. The beginning of Mishnah Vav was another set of three. And now 3 plus 3 plus the 7 now is a total of 13. And The severity increases for these seven, Hare Elu Yaseiros HaLarishonos, that these seven are even stricter than the ones prior, Shebe Elu Masrin. These had special truas, blowing of the Chatzotra, special tefillas. We'll see all of this in the next parak. V'noali Mesachanuyos, and the shops were actually closed. Now, all the businesses were closed. You can't do work. But if you had stores that sold food, people had to buy food, for example, for after the fast. Basheni, if it was on a Monday, food stores were permitted, Matin im Chashecha, they were permitted to partially open their doors when it came closer tonight. In other words, towards the end of the fast, they could let people in. Don't make it a public thing. Don't put your wares on the street that you're selling, but open the doors partially and let people in so they could buy what food they needed for after the fast. Uvechamishi, and for food stores, on Thursday, mutarin mipnei kvod haShabbos. The food stores only, not the other types of stores and businesses, but the food stores would be permitted to stay open on Thursday because people needed to buy their needs for Shabbos. Mishnah Zayin, Avru Elu V'lonanu, if those pass by, in other words, the last set of seven, so we had three, seven, now all 13 Tanios of the Tzibur, and there was no rain, we stop fasting, but we get into a certain mode of similar to Avelu, similar to mourning, Mimatin B'masu Matan, we decrease the amount of business that we do, in particular, anything related to Simcha, buying items for a wedding, for example, that should not be done. Ubebinyan Ubenetia, building things of Simcha, it doesn't mean if you need to fix a wall or something, but building, for example, a wedding hall. Ubenetia, planting things, decorative trees or flowers. Be'erusin Ubenesuin, and also if somebody has not fulfilled the mitzvah, Pur Vu, you can get married, you can get engaged, Kiddushin, Erusin, and Nesuin. However, if somebody has already fulfilled the mitzvah, Pur Vu, it would be prohibited to have Erusin, which is Kiddushin, a halachic engagement, and Nesuin weddings. U'b'sheila shalom bein adam l'chaviro, and greeting people. We're not in a mode of being friendly to one another because kivnei adam hanizufim lamapkom. We are like people who have been rebuked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to act like avelum who aren't greeting people with happy faces and smiles. This is a difficult, calamitous time for Klal Yisrael. Without rain, we can't live. We don't have a parnasa, especially during a time of an agricultural-based society. That could be probably one of the worst things, if not the worst thing, if they have no rain, a drought. Despite the fact that we don't have communal fasts, those Yechidim, the Talmidei Chachamim, will continue to fast as they did initially, just by themselves, with the less severe requirements that they had to start off. They're going to continue fasting until the end of Nisan. Now, the Mishnah concludes as follows, Yatza Nisan, and there are two ways to read this, Yatza Nisan v'lo yardu geshamim, and there was no rain for all of Nisan. It's a siman klala, it's a sign of klala. The other way to read it is, there were goris to take out the v'lo. So Yatza Nisan, if they went all the Nisan and there was no rain, v'yardu geshamim, and then at that point, after when it should have rained, rain begins. That is a siman klala. That is a sign of a curse. In other words, that is bad for the agriculture. At that point, the Mishnah continues with the pasuk shenemar, as it says in the Navi of Shmuel, when Klal Yisrael requested a king, Shmuel Hanavi says to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with your request of having a king. You want to be like the non-Jews. And Shmuel says to them, and as evidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unhappy, Halo Ketzir Chitim Hayom, isn't this the time that we are harvesting? This is a harvest season. And he says, it's going to rain. And that is a sign of klala. That is a sign of bad things to occur. It's a sign of curse because that is not good for what we are trying to harvest at this point. So we have a proof from that it went through Nisan, the time it should have rained, there was no rain, and it rains thereafter. We see from this pasuk that it is evidence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu giving us a time of klala. It's a time of unfortunate rebuke from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's a time of displeasure that is being shown to us by a Kaddish Baruch Hu.